Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
When I was away, I kept going, God, what do you want me to say when I get back? And one of the things was, just share your reflections. Share your reflections when you come back to start off with. And so I'm like, okay. And so when I think about reflections, I think about looking at myself in a mirror. And this is what Allison uses in the morning. And, you know, her beauty can be seen right there. And then you can turn right here and I can get real close-up beauty. And I'm like, well, is that what you're talking about? And well, maybe. And then I was thinking about a mirror that made a huge impact on me while we were away. We had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. And one day while we were in Washington, D.C., we had the opportunity to go out to Mount Vernon. I've been reading a lot about George Washington, and Mount Vernon, just outside of D.C., is where his estate is located, out on the Potomac River. Raise your hand if you've ever been to out that way. You've been to Mount Vernon. What an incredible place. And we got to go through George Washington's house, and if you've been through George Washington's house and kind of taken that tour, when you go through kind of that main big room right when you walk into his house to the left and you go right there, that's the room that he would entertain people, and there's a mirror right before you step out on his back porch, and that was his mirror. And I remember standing there looking, going, George Washington looked in that mirror. George Washington saw his own reflection in that mirror. And I just thought, wow, that is, I mean, for a history nerd like me, that was awesome. And I thought, man, God, you've been showing some things to me as I've not really been looking in mirrors, but as I've been looking in your word. I shared with you last week that one of the foundational anchoring verses of Scripture during my clergy renewal was out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says this. It says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the road and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." And so I was looking, where did I first write that down? Where did I first write that down during my clergy renewal? And the first place I wrote those words in my journal was on June the 27th of this past summer. Here's what I wrote on that day. Out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, "I'm with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." And then I wrote some things from my devotional by Oswald Chambers. God promised Jeremiah that he would deliver him personally, but wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life. That is all God promises his children. Wherever God sends us, he will guard our lives. Our personal property and possessions are a matter of indifference. We have to sit loosely to all those things. If we do not, there will be panic and heartbreak and distress. That is the inwardness of the overshadowing of personal deliverance, doing it in your own strength. And Jesus says, "Go steadily on with what I have told you to do, and I will guard your life. If you try to guard it yourself, you remove yourself from my deliverance." Translation, God wants to get glory. And so I keep writing. We got back from the Gulf Stream on Monday, the 25th, after a great week on the salt. The few extra days made all the difference in it feeling like an unrushed and lingering time down there. We had such a sweet time dedicating Eliana and Ivy, and then taking communion by the water's edge. Such a significant moment in the significant place of pilgrimage and Sabbath for our family. After all these years, grandmother presented each of her great-grandchildren with a personalized devotional book. It was a rich and sacred time on the sands. I feel more and more rested, and the levels of joy and peace are rising. I love watching all the World Cup matches each day with a leisurely pace about my day. My heart is waking up to global missions again as I see the different teams and the fan bases that seems to be on my horizon once again. And that excites me. Spiritual formation is on my mind. How many of you were in my Psalm 119 gathering this past week? About 20 of you? Here's where I got it. On this day, June 27th, I see Psalm 119 being a text for the midweek gathering in the coming school year, guiding people how to be formed by the spiritual disciplines of your word, of prayer, of Lectio Divina, of holy listening, of journaling, of walking in community, and living on mission. Spiritual formation and missions. This is the part of my call. And you are preparing me for this next season. And it is a long obedience in the same direction as Eugene Peterson writes about. And then I write, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, spiritual disciplines, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your soul. And I moved through the book of Jeremiah, and there were several verses that popped as I remembered the path that the Lord had been leading me on throughout my life. And one was right in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Look what it says here. It says this, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before I was in ministry, I was in the heart and mind of God. When I was in my mother's womb, and before I even got there, he thought about me. You're the same. You are here on purpose with a purpose. Do you know what it is? I know part of it is to give him great glory wherever he has you and wherever he will lead you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know who I thought about? Also, little Elizabeth. Well, I formed you. I've got a plan for you and a purpose. I thought about little Ruby Ruth. Before I even formed you, I knew you. I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. And he does for you as well. I moved on into Jeremiah chapter 2. And I'm not going to go through every single chapter. But I'm just hitting a few highlights. But chapter 2 in verse 13, it says this. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. And I thought about when I was a student and I was at Sunday's camp. My church youth group camp, and our speaker that day and that year was a guy named Dave Busby. He's since gone to be with the Lord. He suffered and died from cystic fibrosis, but he spoke on that particular passage one night at camp. Really, it was a whole week at camp, and he talked about the false wells that we dig to try to quench the thirst of our heart. And when we go anywhere but Jesus, we're never going to be satisfied. And he will bring us to the end of ourselves just to show us that it's true. And I remember that scripture just resonating, going, it's not about my popularity. It's not about my talent. It's not about how much money I make. It's not about who I marry. It's not about this, that, or the other. At the end of the day, it's all about God. Because if I'm digging something else to try to fill me up, that's a broken well, a broken cistern that won't hold water. And I remembered that, and I've reflected on that. And I moved forward and said, okay, God, Jeremiah 3. You're going, I thought you said you were going through all of them. I'm not, but these first three are just kind of hitting that way. Jeremiah 3, verse 15. I'll give you shepherds after my own heart who'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I started thinking, boy, you've done that. My youth pastor, Bob Johns, Louis Giglio, Dave Busby, Neil McClendon, my senior year in high school, Mr. Hollis, Dale Hollis, our history teacher. God used him in an incredible way to open some things up in me as far as pursuing God. Bob Roberts, the pastor at Northwood Church, he was my doctoral supervisor. I mean, there is a laundry list of people. Dr. Gary Singleton at the Heights, John Wills, the list goes on and on. All men who have shepherded me along the way. My question is this, who's shepherding you right now? Who's shepherding you? Hopefully I get to be a part of that. But who else is shepherding you? And boy, I needed those shepherds because there was a season that I was walking toward that just broke me. It was before I met Allison. I was married before and that marriage ended. And some of those men walked with me. And the verse that I kept being encouraged to go back to was from Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 18 and 22, says this, my joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And you know what I learned through all that? There is. There is. Did it make it all hunky-dory and glorious and wonderful? No. It was brutal and torched and death. And yet he brought me through. And he showed me there is balm in Gilead. And do you know what about 75% of my pastoral counseling has been ever since I've been a pastor since then? Walking with people who are going through marital difficulties. Why? Because I've been to Gilead and I know there's balm there. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to just come back and I'll be okay, but I can point to hope because I know where it is because I've been there and I haven't forgotten how to go back. And God reminded me of that. Do you need balm today? Who's shepherding you to get there? I think about Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the heart. For these things I delight, declares the Lord. And I thought about, wow, I have the opportunity to know you. To know you. To know you. And I thought about one of those shepherds in my life that I didn't mention. I mentioned it in my class this past Wednesday night. His name was Dudley Callison. He was my Sunday school teacher when I was a junior and senior in high school. And I said, how do you really know God like you know him? I mean, I've been saved. I was saved at VBS in the second grade. Watching my friend, Laura. And I said, Mom, what's up? We're sitting in a Whataburger. He writes three things down. I've shared this with you before. Number one, you need to have quiet moments alone with God. Number two, you need to develop a continual awareness of his presence. And number three, you need to have a yielding obedience to his spirit. I wrote those things down. It's never left me. It's never left me. It's not knowing about him. It's knowing him. Big difference. You'll just be a critic otherwise. But when you know him, you know, oh, this is a but God moment. And if you know him, because you know who he is through the revelation that he's given of himself through his word, you know it's only in his nature and in his character to do things that are going to bless his people and ultimately give him great glory. But it comes from knowing him. It comes from knowing him. It's not about how good you are. about recognizing about how wicked your heart is. You go, wow, that was kind of a left turn. No, just keep going. Jeremiah 17. Look at this, 9 and 14. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Friends, that's why Jesus came and did what he did. Because our hearts were so sick and sin-infested, we had kept digging our own wells and going to everybody else but him. And he says, I'm going to take care of this. And Jeremiah cries out in verse 14, heal me, O Lord, that I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Have you cried out to him to do that? Because that means it's all on him. It's not on you. It doesn't matter what you bring back in the little pink envelope on Labor Day weekend, because that's beside the point. It's, are you bringing all of who you are to him every day? Just going, I'm in deep weeds without you. And then we go to Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And this was the one that lit me up. My very first youth camp I ever went to, 1989, Sunday's camp. Between my sophomore and junior year at high school. And this was the theme verse, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And the theme that week was free the fire. And the Imperials, a Christian group way back then, had a song called Free the Fire. And we'd play that as we were walking in. I mean, we were feeling real good. But I never forgot that. And the last day of camp, Louis Giglio, who was our camp pastor, stood up and he gave a sermon. F-I-R-E. Forget the past. It's under the blood. Receive his love and power. Enter the battle. And I did. And it's radically changed the trajectory of my life. The last one I want to share with you is from Jeremiah 33, verse 3. I've been taught this is God's phone number. J-E-R-3-3-3. And he says this in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me. And I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Jack memorized that when he was a little boy. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. As we wrap this time up, I want to invite you to pray. Right where you're at. Our worship team's going to come. They're going to lead us in a song. But before they come and we start singing, I want you to start praying. Right where you're at, would you pray? Lord, you're leading us. You're leading us to the ancient path because you're the Ancient of Days. You're moving and you're inviting us to move with you. You're inviting us to follow you, to love our neighbors, to bless the city, to make disciples, to be a people who live in community and on mission. Lord, hear your people as they're praying right now. Lord, they're lifting their prayers to you. They're calling on the name of their God. You're fanning into flame the fire shut up in their bones. You're reminding them that you created them on purpose with a purpose. You're pointing out to us the false wells we've been digging, trying to quench our thirst. You're pointing out that we need shepherds in our life to lead us. You're reminding us there is balm in Gilead. We call on you, Lord. We call on you. We call on you. Because we know you. Make yourself known so we can give you great glory.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.